الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا قوم ادخلوا الأرض المقدسة التي كتب الله لكم ولا ترتدوا على أدباركم فتنقلبوا خاسرين وقال تعالى سبحان الذي أسرى بعبده ليلا من المسجد الحرام إلى المسجد الأقصى الذي باركنا حوله لنريه من آياتنا إنه هو السميع البصير صدق الله العظيم. Respected elders and beloved brothers of Islam, definitely Masjid al-Aqsa and the land of Palestine holds a very, very close bond and a close attachment in the heart of every believer. And definitely the atrocities and the bombardment and the massacre and the genocide that is taking place in Gaza and in the area surrounding this Mubarak land, the difficulties that are taking place at this moment in time definitely causes pain in the heart of each and every believer also. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned in the hadith that the believer is like one body. If any part of the body feels pain, then the entire body experiences that pain. So like our Muslim brothers and sisters are experiencing this difficulty and hardship, it is only natural that each and every one of us share in their pain and in difficulty. But on the one hand, we witnessed the massacre that is taking place. But together with that is how we react to what we are witnessing. And what is our demands at this moment in time? And how do we carry out our responsibilities at this moment in time after witnessing what is taking place? Masjid al-Aqsa gained prominence in this Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And there are many, many virtues and blessings regarding Masjid al-Aqsa. But one very, very great and salient feature of Masjid al-Aqsa is, as recited in the ayat, the opening verses of the 15th para, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam undertook that Mubarak journey from Masjid al-Haram to Masjid al-Aqsa. And thereafter, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam undertook the journey to the seven heavens from Masjid al-Aqsa. And when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went on the journey, and Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam thereafter returned from that journey, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam returned with a gift. And like how if any family member goes on any journey, then we eagerly anticipating what they will return backward. We find that this Mi'raj, according to many, many Mufassirin, Mi'raj, it took place at a very, very difficult time in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The years prior to this Mi'raj taking place, one was Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were boycotted and banished in the valley of Abu Talib. And they had experienced such difficulty and harm in that period and time that in one narration, Hazrat Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas mentions that he was so hungry, there was no food. He was so hungry that one night, in the darkness of the night, out of sheer hunger, his foot fell upon something moist. And not knowing what his foot fell upon, but because of the sheer hunger that he had been experiencing due to the boycott, he took whatever was on the floor and he put it into his mouth just to enjoy some moisture to satisfy his hunger. That was a difficulty that he experienced. And after this boycott also, two very, very close companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one is the beloved uncle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Talib, and our beloved mother, Hazrat Khadijah al-Kubra radiallahu ta'ala anha. She had also passed away after this boycott. And thereafter, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this was known as Amul Huzn, the year of grief. After that, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to Taif. And we know the difficulties and the hardships endured in that journey. Then many, many years later, Hazrat Aisha asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam regarding the most difficult day in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu made reference to this day of Taif, when the Mubarak body of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was torn to such an extent that the entire body of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was flowing with blood, till the shoes, Mubarak shoes of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam became clogged with blood. So this was the hardship and difficulties that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had endured. And it was after these difficulties and hardships that Allah Ta'ala called Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this Mubarak journey had included from Masjidul Haram to Masjidul Aqsa. This Mubarak journey of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam included Masjidul Aqsa. We find that Masjidul Aqsa is the only place guaranteed upon the surface of this earth that every Nabi performed Salat in. And it was on this occasion of Mi'raj, when every Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all the Anbiya had gathered there, and Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the Imam, and Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam led the Salah for the entire galaxy of Anbiya alayhi wa sallam. Masjidul Aqsa, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was questioned that which was the first masjid upon the surface of this earth. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied that it was Masjidul Haram. Thereafter, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was questioned that which was the second masjid upon the surface of this earth. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied that it was Masjidul Aqsa. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked, what was the time period between Masjidul Haram and Masjidul Aqsa? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied that it was 40 years. So you find that from very, very beginning, Masjidul Aqsa had placed a very, very prominent place in the heart of every believer and a significant symbol of Islam and Shariat and Deen. It was the second masjid upon the surface of this earth, and many, many ahadith show the virtue. In one hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that that person who puts on his ihram at Masjid al-Aqsa and thereafter performs Umrah, then according to one riwayat, his sins will be forgiven. And according to another narration, the Rawi, Shakkar Rawi, there was a doubt on the Rawi, what is the exact wording. But on the one was that all his sins will be forgiven, or the other one was that Jannat will become wajib for him by putting on your ihram in Masjid al-Aqsa and thereafter going for Umrah. Hazrat Maymuna radiallahu ta'ala anha asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam regarding Masjid al-Aqsa. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that if any one of you have the ability to visit Masjid al-Aqsa, then he should visit it. But he is unable to visit it, then at least he should send some money to light up the lamps that are lighting Masjid al-Aqsa. So Masjid al-Aqsa was our first Qibla, and it was the land of Anbiya alayhi wasalam. Allah Ta'ala took Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam on the journey to Masjid al-Aqsa as a comfort after the difficulty that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam had endured. And other Anbiya alayhi wasalam also, after they had endured difficulty and hardship in their life, like the nation, like Ibrahim alayhi salam, after he was thrown into the fire, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had saved him and protected him. Allah ta'ala talks about Lut alayhi salam, the entire nation of Lut alayhi salam, wa jainahu. Allah ta'ala says, we saved Ibrahim alayhi salam, wa Lutan, and Lut alayhi salam, ila al-ardi allati barakna fiha lil-alameen. We had saved Ibrahim alayhi salam, and we had saved Lut alayhi salam, and we took them to the land, barakna, the blessed land. Quran, when it talks about the land of Philistine, it refers to it as the blessed land. We saved Lut alayhi salam and we saved Ibrahim alayhi salam, and we had taken them to the blessed land, the land around Masjid al-Aqsa, the land of Philistine. Similarly, Nabi Dawud alayhi salam, Sulaiman alayhi salam, Musa alayhi salam, they were also, Isa alayhi salam, they were also from this Mubarak land. And many, many places when Allah Ta'ala talks about Sulaiman alayhi salam, Sulaiman alayhi salam made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for three things. One dua that Sulaiman alayhi salam made dua to Allah Ta'ala, Rabbi habli mulkan la yambaghi li ahadin min ba'di, that oh my Allah, give me such a kingdom that after me nobody else will have such a kingdom. Allah Ta'ala accepted the dua of Sulaiman alayhi salam. And when Sulaiman alayhi salam, Quran talks about the army of Sulaiman alayhi salam. وَحُشِّرَ لِسُلِيمَانَ جُنُودُهُ مِنَ الْجِنِّ وَالْإِنْسِ وَالطَّيْرِ فَهُمْ يُوزَعُونَ حَتَّى إِذَا أَتُوا عَلَى وَادِ النَّمْلِ. The Sulaiman alayhi salam had a very, very large and vast army. Allah Ta'ala had given him control over insan. Allah Ta'ala had given him control over jinnat. وَشَيَاطِينَ كُلَّ بَنَّاءِ وَغَوَّاسِ. The shayateen, they used to build structures for him. The many structures that are still found today. They used to go and dive in the oceans and bring back precious jewels from the ocean for Sulaiman alayhi salam. Allah Ta'ala mentions now the army of Sulaiman alayhi salam, they are straightening their rows. Hatta idha atu ala wadi naml, till they came to the colony of ants. Wadi and naml, valley of naml. This valley of naml is in Philistine. Allah Ta'ala talks about the travels of Sulaiman alayhi salam. Allah Ta'ala had given him such a kingdom that he should travel by means of the wind. Wali Sulaiman al-Riha, Ghuduhu wa Shahrun wa Rawahu wa Shahr. Sulaiman alayhi salam, Allah Ta'ala had given him such control that what used to take an entire month's journey, Sulaiman alayhi salam should travel in the morning with it. What should take an entire month's journey, just by the evening he should travel by means of the wind. He should travel an entire month's journey. And where he should travel to? Wali Sulaiman al-Riha asiyafatin tajri bi amrihi ila al-ardi allati barakna fiha lil-alamin. He should travel by means of the wind to the blessed land, the land of Philistine. So, Philistine is mentioned many, many places in the Quran and Majid. Masjid al-Aqsa is referenced to and mentioned directly. There are only two masjids that are mentioned by name in the Quran and Majid. Other masajid are mentioned, references made, like Masjid al-Quba, La Masjid al-Ustisa, La Taqwa. Allah Ta'ala talks about other masajid in the Quran and Majid also. But by name specifically, only two masajid, the name comes in the Quran and Majid. One is Masjid al-Haram and the other Masjid al-Aqsa. So Masjid al-Aqsa holds a very, very great place in the heart of every believer. The second dua of Sulaiman alayhi salam was that if he passed judgment in any matter, then he must be fair in passing judgment. And the third dua of Sulaiman alayhi salam was that if any person visits Masjid al-Aqsa solely for the purpose of ibadat, then that person be forgiven. So Allah Ta'ala had used Masjid al-Aqsa as a place for comfort after the difficulties and hardship of Anbiya alayhi salam. Like Allah Ta'ala had saved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from the tyranny that was taking place in Makkah al-Mukarramah, and Allah Ta'ala took him on this comforting journey of Mi'raj. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had come back with a gift for the ummah. And that gift that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had come back with is a solution to the every problems of the ummah. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu usta'inu bis sabri was salah. When we witness the hardship, when we should witness the difficulties, when we witness the calamities that are taking place in this ummah, then friends and elders, our first and foremost responsibility at this moment in time is to resort back to the masjid, resort back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, revert back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala has given us this tool that seek the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Firstly, enjoy patience and seek the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with salah. Allah Ta'ala thereafter mentions in the ayat of the Quran and Majid that وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ, you will definitely be tested, each and every one of us. Our life in this world is a test. We have come into this world. Our life in this world is a test. You will go through difficulty. You will go through hardships. You will go through calamities and tests in this world. مِنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنْفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ. You will experience loss of life. You will experience hunger. You will experience loss in your crops. You will experience loss of life, loss of near and dear ones. This is our test in this world. And you will be tested. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala thereafter gives glad tidings to those who endure this patience. And friends and elders, we see, and we are witnessing very, very clearly, that our Muslim brothers and sisters in Palestine, that despite the hardships and the difficulties, and today marks 40 days, today being the 17th of November, this atrocity has started on the 7th of October, 40 days, and it is not 40 days. It is 70 years and 40 days. How many years this hardship and difficulty is taking place? They are going through years and years of bombardment, hardship and difficulties. But friends and elders, we find that despite the conditions and despite the trials and the tribulations, whatever falls upon them, they still turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they have not deterred their faith in any way. Hazrat Bilal ibn Abu Rabah radiallahu ta'ala anhu. In the days in Makkatul Mukarrama, he was a slave at that time, and his master used to beat him for him to renounce and denounce Islam and go back to the religion, the previous religion. But he was firm upon it, so much so that they used to take turns in beating and whooping him. That the master and others used to take turns. They used to get tired in beating and whooping him. To such an extent they used to beat and whoop him that his flesh used to split and wounds used to open up. And thereafter they used to drag him on the hot Arabian sand, drag him. And whilst they were dragging him, he should shout, Ahad, Ahad, the one Allah, Ahad, the one Allah. And they used to mock him and jeer at him. That where is your Allah? You are shouting to your Allah. Where is your Allah? But what Hazrat Bilal radiallahu anhu mentioned? He says that my Allah is there. My Allah is there. The help of my Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there. My Allah wants to test whether Bilal is there for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then whatever condition and hardship is he going through, is he there to face Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What is his sabr and patience? And how does he react to the difficulty and hardship that he's going through? And friends and elders, this is our test in our life, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put us through hardship and difficulties. So we are encouraged to do whatever we do. On the one hand, turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, increase in tawbah and istighfar. Why? You do not only make tawbah, and for not one second even we are suggesting that our Muslim brothers and sisters in Palestine are going through difficulty because of sinning. No, my friends and elders. But tawbah is a tool of a believer of gaining the rahmat and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tawbah draws the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when gunas and sins are committed. And we should understand it like this, that it is because of my sin, my sinning. It is because of my wrongdoing that others are suffering. It is because of my shortcomings. It is because of my disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that other parts of the ummah are suffering. Every person should question himself like this, that how far have I gone from the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and how much have I immersed myself in the disobedience and gunas and sinnings. So we should increase in abundant tawbah and istighfar. إِيَّاكَ وَالْمَعْصِيَةَ فَإِنَّ بِالْمَعْصِيَةِ حَلَّ غَضَبُ اللَّهِ. When there's disobedience and sinning, then this brings about and makes lawful the anger and the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So increase in tawbah and istighfar, because tawbah and istighfar cools the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it brings about the rahmat and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And friends and elders, in our enthusiasm and in our compassion for our Muslim brothers and sisters in Palestine and the hardship that are taking place, let us not do such things that increase in their suffering and their difficulty. Let us not do such things that are going in contradiction and against the Sharia of Islam and Deen. Let us not become involved in such things that will increase the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are many, many things that are taking place nowadays. Let us ask ourselves and ponder and reflect on the things that are taking place. We are not going to the finer details of what we are witnessing. But are those actions earning the rahmat and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or the laws of Islam, the laws of Sharia being violated? How often these events that we are holding, it comes at the expense of the laws of hijab. The laws of hijab have been compromised. It comes at the expense of halal and haram. It comes at the expense, a person will do such things, and thereafter his five times daily salah, which is fard, that becomes missed. He becomes qaza, or he does not perform it totally in his becoming overawed in doing things for the Muslim brothers and sisters that are suffering. So we cannot expect the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if we are going to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need to bring about the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our lives, not to bring about the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in whatever a person wants to do for those that are suffering and the hardship and the difficulties that are taking place. And friends and elders, we look at the difficulties, we look at the hardship, the death toll is rising, 10,000, and it is rising. It is very easy for us to see this figure, but more and more are suffering. And what is those that have passed on, and the others, those that are displaced? But friends and elders, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran Majid also comforts us and gives us comfort when we witness this type of difficulty and hardship taking place. The Muslims, when they had suffered in Uhud, initially they were victorious, but thereafter they had suffered losses in Uhud. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comforts the Muslims of Uhud, or comforts the families of the Muslims of Uhud, by telling them that وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينَ قُتِلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتًا بَلْ أَحْيَاءٌ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ يُرْزَقُونَ. In the ayah that I recited earlier also, Allah Ta'ala mentions وَلَا تَقُولُوا لِمَنْ يُقْتَلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتًا, that those that have given their lives for this deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, do not count them to be dead. Do not consider them to be dead. بَلْ أَحْيَاءٌ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ يُرْزَقُونَ. Rather they are alive and they're enjoying the bounties by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In one hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that the ruh of a shaheed, the soul of a shaheed, is taken into Jannat and it is placed upon a green bird. And this green bird is suspended to the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this green bird thereafter flies about and roams about freely in Jannat, enjoying all the bounties in Jannat, the rivers of Jannat, the food of Jannat, the enjoyments, the eternal enjoyments of Jannat. This ruh of this shaheed is enjoying the Jannat. And thereafter it returns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah Rabbul Izzat addresses the ruh of this shaheed. And Allah Ta'ala asked it, that is there anything more you require? It will reply, no. What more can we ask for? We're enjoying all the bounties of Jannat. Second time Allah Ta'ala poses the question, is there any more that you require? Is there any more that you require? Again the soul will reply, oh my Allah, we are enjoying everything of Jannat. What more can we ask for? Third time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala poses this question to the shaheed, that is there any more that you require? Third time this shaheed will reply, then oh my Allah, what more can I ask for? I'm enjoying the rivers of Jannat, I'm enjoying the food of Jannat, I'm enjoying the fruits of Jannat, I'm enjoying everything of Jannat, what more can I ask for? Again the question is posed, thereafter the shaheed will reply, yes oh my Allah, there's one more request I have, there's one request we have, and what is the request of the shaheed? That after enjoying all the bounties and the ni'mas of Jannat, what is the request of the shaheed? The request of the shaheed is that, oh my Allah, return me back to this world. Return me back to this world so that I may give my life again such enjoyment, such sweetness that I have experienced in giving my life for this deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that despite enjoying all the bounties of Jannat, oh my Allah, return me back to this world so that I may give my life again and experience shahadat again, again and again for this deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that the shaheed will come on the day of Qiyamah, some with their hands cut off, some with their legs cut off, flowing in blood, lawnuhu lawnu damin, red blood, the color will be like the color of red blood, wa rihuhu rihu miskin, in the condition that they made shahadat, they'll be resurrected on the day of Qiyamah, the color will be like the color of blood, but the smell will be like the smell of musk. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those that have passed on, Allah Rabbul Izzat, grant them the highest maqam in the stages of Jannat. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removes the suffering of our Muslim brothers and sisters in Palestine. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala returns Masjid al-Aqsa to the rightful owners and friends and elders. Lastly, we're looking at this difficulty and hardship that is taking place. On the one hand, they are suffering in the other part of the world. But friends and elders, together with that, take lesson and sabak from it also. That halat and condition can change at any time. Zahar al-fasadu fil barri wal-bah bima kasabat aydin nas. It was once a very, very prosperous country. They were enjoying the bounties and the ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like how we are enjoying the bounties and ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our country. They were enjoying freely the ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَيِّرُ مَا مِقُومٍ حَتَّى يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can change the conditions at any time of any nation. وَإِذَا أَرَادَ اللَّهُ بِقُومٍ سُوءًا فَلَا مَرَدَّ لَهُ. So conditions and hardship can come about any nations. Take lesson from those friends and elders. That this is should serve as a wake-up call and an eye-opener for each and every one of us also, that to turn back to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Rabbul Izzat has given us bounties. Allah Rabbul Izzat has given us ni'mas to use these in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.